This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Sam Sheppey and Josh. How are we doing this evening, boys?
Good, mate, you?
Yeah, doing all right, thank you.
Yeah, not too bad, yeah. Off the back of another disappointing loss last night to Hull, Liam Rossignol, his men did a 2-0 victory over the Blues in Rooney's first home game down at St Andrews. Not the results that we wanted, in his opening two games. We're going to do another reaction to the game tonight. We're going to try and be composed and be as level-headed as we can. But there's a lot of emotions flying around at the moment. But let's just kick it off. So, Josh, your thoughts on the game last night? What you thought of the game and how we played?
I honestly, mate, weren't there. I was stuck at work. But from what my brother's been saying, he said it was the worst he's seen Blues play for years. And for my brother to say something like that means, like, we must have been shocking. I watched probably about 20 minutes of it. And I don't think I actually seen Blues put four passes together. If what they're saying about the players saying something's true, then something's got to be done because obviously clearly just isn't working on the pitch.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Again, we played very sloppily. We didn't really have many chances in on goal. Hull had a lot of the ball. And to be fair to them, they played very well. But Sam, what's your thoughts on the game from last night?
It's one of them games where if it wasn't going to go our way, you knew what the reaction was going to be like. And it did kind of turn out that way, especially in the fact that we conceded the first goal through that back pass from Longuello. And it's one of them things where that wasn't happening earlier on in the season. It just so happens to be happening now. And it just creates this, fear amongst the fans. And I just think as soon as you saw that lineup, I was thinking, right, okay, I think we're going to score tonight. It's just about sort of keeping Hull out and letting them worry about us. But it just didn't happen that way, did it? You said there, Josh, about the possession stats. Like, literally, we didn't really see much of the ball. We weren't really stringing passes together. And it's one of the things where I think we've created problems for ourselves that didn't exist before. And it's just really worrying to see.
Yeah, it's a worry, isn't it? I mean, like, we've started Rooney's campaign off in a very poor way. I feel like I'm open to the fact that we're going to play some different football, different manager, different styles, different rules and everything. And I'm open to that. And I'm accepting of that as well, because things like that always happen. You're always going to get different managers. You're always going to get different points of view. And you're just going to have to accept that, really. And we're not going to get Eustace back. We're not going to suddenly sack Rooney after two games. We're going to have to. We're going to have to get used to it, And we've got to get behind him as well. I'm definitely not in favour of booing them off. I said this on my vlog last night. But I understand it. I can understand fans' frustration with Rooney and the way we're playing, particularly as a paying customer as well, and particularly from the sort of the idea that I think Gary Cook, Blue CEO, was trying to install in us, trying to give us like a feeling of, we're going to make some change from this point onwards. This is a new Blues. But personally, I haven't seen it yet. And I'm saying I'm open to that changing. And we probably won't get it against Southampton. And, you know, we've got a real tough few games coming up against Ipswich and Sunderland as well. But in terms of like sticking with Rooney and trying to see what he gets out of the game, fair enough. But, you know, we're just... we haven't got that at the moment, and it's rather disappointing to see. I mean, like, in terms of the way that Hull played, Josh, what did you think to them?
I've seen them play a couple of games this season, and I think compared to the last few years, they've been like a doggy team for a lot of teams. They've got scraped points out, and they've just been awful. I think this year, Rossini has got them really composed and in a really good way. They're playing good football. They're playing linking up passes. They're obviously scoring goals and obviously on the rise. I just, for me personally, I just don't see Birmingham City, and I've said it to my brother last night, I don't ever see Birmingham City playing with one guy up front. You look at the last 10 years when we've had good teams, we've always played two strikers. We had Shea Adams and Djukovic. When Hogan first came in and he was scoring goals on loan, he was playing with Djukovic. We always play better with two strikers. Now, I don't know whether Rooney looks at changing his formations because obviously something's clear not working. But you look at Hull that have played the same formation this season. They can play. They've brought the players in to change formation completely. I think they started with three at the back last night, and then they brought subs on at 70 minutes, and we're like, yeah, we'll just go four at the back, and still looked comfortable because they brought the right players in to change the formation. I think we've brought some good players in, but I think we've also panic-buyed at the same time last minute with Ollie Burke, I think.
Right, yeah.
I was there to positive at first, like, yeah, I'll give him a chance, but I've seen about three or four passes to him yesterday, and every touch it went up for a throw-in. You're a professional footballer earning thousands. You've got to be able to control the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree with you on the two-striker thing, though. I feel we look better with just one striker, and I feel like Jay Stansfield looks that role at the moment, you know. And I think what might be interesting to touch on, actually, is sort of some of the players' reactions from last night. And obviously, there's, you know, of course, rumours about change of captaincy as well circulating at the moment. But in terms of what we saw from last night, Jay Stansfield, and I saw this with Sonjic as well, and particularly with Sonjic, actually, from the game against Middlesbrough, and how they just don't look themselves, you know. They really didn't. And Jay Stansfield, like, in the chances that we've given him this season, he's been absolutely electric, and we've given them in behind, given him the ball into where he can be really dangerous. And the same with Sonjic as well, you know, like, we've played him in the right positions at the right times, and he's been great, you know. And he's had a very disappointing career with Blues, really. And yet, Rooney comes in and he puts his own style on it, and then he moves everybody out of position, and Sonjic starts to underperform. He's then benched for the game last night. And then Stansfield as well, who's also been banging in goals and being absolutely electric up front, didn't look anywhere near the standards he's been at. So it's like, and again, you know, I'm trying to, you know, cut really some slack, but in terms of the moment, like, that ain't working, you know. Like, at the moment, the sort of the way he's going about things and trying to implement his own style, it's too soon for my liking. And again, that's just my opinion.
They just look really uncomfortable. And, like, you can see it generally, like, even in, like, the video where they've done this Back in Black videos, and, like, some of the players' reactions, they just don't look happy to be around Rooney and his team. I've seen a training video the other day of Ramal Donovan. After they put the photo up of him having his first with Rooney, all the team looked smiley, happy, like they look like they're ready to go. And then also they put a video up the other day and everyone just looked miserable. And I'm like, either he's got them in on a really bad training plan, or, like, the rumours are that they're not happy and they've said something to him. They're really not happy with the style of play he's trying to play. And I think they need to be key focal people here and actually stand up and go, we're not happy with this. You, like I said to you boys earlier, we played the exact same team yesterday, apart from Sonjic being off of Burke, the same team that played against Huddersfield and West Brom. But there was complete different lack of attitude yesterday. And I don't get how a manager can come in and change that. I get Eustace was big in the changing room and he got the team going. But bringing in someone new like Rooney, you can't have lost a dressing room that quick.
No, I agree, yeah. What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear all of that, because I think with obviously the manager coming in and then the players as well, I think the players do have to also take some responsibility, because at the end of the day, those are the ones that are on the pitch. And I think that there was times last night where I just think the players looked a bit lethargic, didn't they? I mean, we were speaking before we went live, the fact that, you know, Long looked a bit tired. And it's just players that, you know, weren't giving it their all. And it's that thing you're saying, Josh, where perhaps mentally they're not in the right mind frame, so they're not going to give 100% on the pitch. But I think whenever you step on the pitch for Birmingham City, you should always give 100%, regardless of what's happening sort of outside the club or on a training day or whatever. Whenever you're on that pitch for Birmingham for those 90 minutes, you've got to give 100%.
I would perhaps say, though, as well, though, I don't think Rooney's done his homework on us as the fans and how much we influence the players on the pitch as well, because, you know, you compare like how we were against West Brom, you know, because it was a derby game and because we were at home as well, we had a massive advantage over that. And in fairness, the game was probably a bit closer. And I feel like in a reverse fixture, West Brom probably would have got the win in that end. But we had such an impact in trying to get behind the team. And even when we went a goal down last night, they were still, you know, trying to get them back up on their feet. And I feel like he hasn't sort of tuned into how majority of the Blues fans feel about when they go to the games, because myself included, you know, I'm a massive fan of fast, entertaining football, you know, getting stuck into players. Like, one of my favourite players at Blues was Michael Kiftenbeld. And, you know, fair enough, Rooney wants to go forward towards that style of football where we're going to play more attractive possession-based football. Fair enough, you know, but like, not right now, you know. And I've said this last podcast and I've said it in the vlogs as well. At the moment, we need that dogged style of football. We need that style of football that's going to get some wins, that's going to keep the ball out of the back of our net. And then when we do start playing better and we are higher up the table, then we can look to play some better football. Like, prime example, I won't drag on for too long. I'll let you guys talk. Prime example was last season, Burnley were an absolute machine, weren't they? You know, playing some really quality football under Vincent Kompany. You know, everybody feared them. And that's why they came to them, sort of looking to defend. And that worked perfectly into Burnley's hands because they just picked us off. You know, we went like a goal down inside the first 5 minutes or whatever. And it was just game over from that point, because if you come arriving to defend, then you're going to lose. And they get that first goal and it was game over. However, you know, Burnley, they stormed the league, won the league with ease, really. But they're now in the Premier League and they're now struggling because they're playing the same style of football. And I think Burnley, the Twitter page itself, has even asked for the fans to get behind them. But I don't think they realise at the moment that that football, from the position that they are in currently, Burnley, doesn't work with where they are. They need to scrap some results. They need points on the board. They need to stay up in the Premier League, earn that bit of money, and then they can play that better attractive football and push them further towards. It's like us at this moment. We don't need the attractive football at the moment because we're not there yet. Yes, we might be there in the table roughly thereabouts, but the Championship can change at any given point. And it has, you know, we're back in mid-table positions now, aren't we? Whereas like, if we were just winning those games by the skin of our teeth, it wouldn't matter. If we were back in the Premier League, then we would still have to play that dogged style of football. That's just where we are, unfortunately, at the moment. But I am in favour of moving towards a better style of football, because who isn't? I can't really think of who would like to see unattractive smashing into play. Well, actually, no, I say I probably would quite like to see that type of football.
Who wouldn't want to see that type of football?
I mean, but I like it.
Going on what you said, though, where Rooney's got to do his homework on the fans. I think the silly mistake the Blues have made as well was the day before announcing the full Tiltons open. You are not going to sell that Tilton out in a full day. Maybe I'd have left that full opening back till we got Ipswich on next Saturday. I'd have tried selling that out that game for the first game of the full Tilton. But I don't think Rooney's helped himself. I've seen a lot of negativity online regarding his reaction after the Middlesbrough game. Apparently it was a lack of like effort towards the fans, like didn't really want to clap them and stuff like that. If that is true, obviously Tommy, you were there, I'm not sure if it's true, but if that is true, you've got to know that Birmingham City run on their fan base. Yeah. If the fans could own the club and run it like some of the lower league teams, we would 100%, every person inside that ground would pay money to buy that club. And we would run it for the fans and we'd run it 10 times better than anyone else. But we've got a guy in charge of us now with Wagner that a lot of people are giving hate to, and I don't think he deserves it. Someone the other day, I was in a post, called him faceless. The guy has been at every game. How can you call the guy faceless? He's put his face everywhere. Yep. He's been in away ends. You tell me when BHSL were in an away end at Preston North End midweek. Never. The guy's not faceless. The guy knows business. The guy's business is worth £9 billion. He does not have a £9 billion company for being faceless and not knowing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yes, don't get me wrong. It's a complete different business. And I think maybe at the moment we're looking too much at, oh, let's get that Birmingham wheel. So everyone, you've seen it on social media the last few days. Everyone going crazy because their warehouses have been sold by Birmingham Wheels. There's too much from fans expecting, oh, we've got new owners. They've got money. Yes, we'll have a new stadium. We'll be winning the Champions League in 5 years. It's not going to happen. Eustace said it the end of last season. He said it at the beginning of the season. Craig Gardner said it. This is not a project that's going to happen in the space of a couple of weeks. This is a 3 to 5 year plan. And I think some of our fans are too much in their head of, oh, we've got new things, we deserve better, we're going to do a Man City and buy the league, and it's just not going to happen.
Because it makes you think, doesn't it? Like, what did Eustace say to the owners for them to sort of change their mind about him, I guess? Because we heard about this misalignment. Gary Cook said it in his sort of press conference with Rooney, where there was this misalignment. I wonder what the misalignment was and what Rooney says as opposed to Eustace to make them sort of go with this guy instead of what we had before.
I reckon, I was reading someone put it the other day, there was a potential about a new contract for Eustace, but rather than being a head coach, they wanted to make him a manager. So he obviously, the difference between the two is a head coach is basically a yes man to the board, and obviously a manager makes all the decisions. But I don't think Eustace wanted to be a manager. I think he was happy being a head coach, right. And that's where it's different, because the owners are going, well, no, we want to put the trust in you. You make decisions. And he's going, no, I just want to pick a team and play a game and make my job easy. And I reckon that potentially could be, if there's any truth to it, like I said, don't know if there is, just seen it on Twitter, but if there's any truth to that and him not wanting to become a manager, it's kind of understandable why they'd look somewhere else. They want a certain way, a certain ethos of how to run the club, and if you just don't want to do it, unfortunately, if you don't want to do your job, you're out the door, aren't you? So it's the same situation there.
And I buy into that ethos, you know, I completely respect this, you know, because you can't say as a club in the last 10 years, well, it's whenever since we've been relegated, that we've had a winning mentality and a mentality of let's get back into the Premier League. We've had God knows how many relegation battles now. So I completely agree with Gary Cook when he says that we need a new winning mentality. I completely agree with it. And I've also said that if Rooney isn't the man for the job, then they will find somebody else to go and put that position in for him. It feels like the message hasn't gotten to Rooney yet. That's the thing. That's the frustrating thing for me. Like, I can accept losing, and yeah, it's shit whenever we lose. It's like, and particularly from last night, it was like, oh, okay, he might have learned some mistakes from Middlesbrough, and the lineup as well. It looked like we were, you know, perhaps changing a few things, but it just doesn't look like the message has gotten through to him. What we want from the team, really, it's that sort of absolutely die on the hill trying to win the game, and last night just wasn't that, and neither was Middlesbrough. We just didn't look like we know what we were doing. I presume we were, although it depends on what the really is happening behind the scenes, of course we never know, but it just doesn't look like we know what we're doing. And it looked like we were getting to a point when we were playing Huddersfield and West Brom. You know, we're playing fast, 4-2-3-1, counter-attack, and get the ball out to Dembele, who last night was just, again, a shadow of himself. He was still trying his best. Like, everybody, I'm sure, was trying their best. But they just didn't work in the positions they were. Like, Sariki Dembele easily is our best player going forward. Hands down, there is nobody better at the club than him than that. And he works best. And I've not just picked this up as well from watching him at Blues. I've been a massive fan of his before he even joined us. So when we signed him in the summer, I was delighted with that. I thought, oh, here we go. Like, this is like proper rock and roll football. This is like, as soon as like he gets on the ball, he stays as wide as he possibly can. And then as soon as the fullback's as close as he is, then he just gets past him. It's undoubtedly, he's got fantastic foot control. You know, the ball is past him immediately. So why Rooney has then thought to suddenly try and move him slightly inwards and try and cut in through that left back role just doesn't work, you know. Oh, sorry, right back role. It doesn't work. He's a proper winger, and that's why I feel like we're trying to change players into a system that doesn't work for them, you know. And it's fair enough, you know. Rooney, again, probably going to repeat a few points tonight, but like, again, if Rooney wants that style of football, fair enough. Not with this team, though. It's as simple as that.
Though, isn't it? We always seem to play players out of position. I can't remember when we haven't gone a season where we haven't been playing players out of position. The only thing I'm quite looking forward to is Anderson coming back. I think that's he's been vital at the moment because he is very attacking. He gets a ball and the first thought is forward.
Yeah,
I think he's a massive miss. Buchanan is showing he's a massive miss at left back. Like, don't get me wrong, Longello, we were all sat here, high horses, praising him anything after Huddersfield and Baggies. Mm-hmm. He had two games of his absolute career. But last night, I've seen him get the ball twice, and both times he's running down the wing and he looks like he's going to fall over the ball. But you try to run too quick, just slow it down. You've got Dembele in front of you that can run 100 mile per hour with a ball at his feet. Give him the ball and you just be that player to link up like you do before.
Yeah.
And Drama, he's growing into the team. And he's had a few bad games, but Long did when he first came in and people absolutely love him now. I think Ethan Laird coming back into training though is going to put him on his heels and he's going to have to do some serious work. Because Ethan Laird walks into that team at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sorry, but he does.
Well, this is what we were saying on the podcast a few weeks ago, is that I think it was me and you, Sam, who were talking about it as well. It was like, you know, we should adopt a policy of play until you shouldn't be in the team anymore. And, you know, don't fix what ain't broke, which is kind of ironic, really, with what's gone on in the past few weeks. But like Ethan Laird at the moment, as soon as he's fit, under the current performances that Cody Drama's been having, walks back into the team, doesn't he? And that's the same way with anybody else. I mean, like, I would say, and people might disagree with me on this, but I would say that Middlesbrough was Rooney's mistake. Shouldn't have changed the team, should have kept the same team that beat Albion. I think last night, I would say the players were to blame because they were just, it was something about them last night, they just didn't look on it from the word go. You know, Dembele, as much as I praised him for getting forward and, you know, that work on the left-hand side, his finish in that first instant was just appalling. You know, he made no contact with it at all, just completely misses the ball, slices it. And like Manny Longello, basic mistake to give away for the goal. Really simple. Should have just like, he should have looked over his shoulder immediately. You see him on the highlights in the close-up angle. He doesn't even look over his left shoulder. Like, he literally passes blind. He doesn't even see Liam Delap. He steps in.
I call it the Longello turn, but he's so used to facing the defenders here, and he goes to go that way, and then turns and just rolls a defender.
Right.
And when that ball rolled into him, I thought, he's going to just turn him here, down the wing, lead Delap. Why has he gone backwards? That's what don't make sense. He's never once, in that much space, thought, oh, I'll give it Ruddy.
Like, Ruddy's perhaps
there, like, not even, Ruddy's not even like necessarily paying attention, because I think Ruddy's looking at him going, right, turn him, get down that wing. You've got Bielik, I think, in it with Bielik and Dembele in that pocket there, just find one of them with a pass. And then he's dodged a pass backwards. Like, don't get me wrong, you see it in the Premier League, players do it all the time, but you've never done that pass, so why are you going for it? It just makes sense. But the other thing as well that's really starting to drive my nut in, you've got the number 7 on your back, but you're not Cristiano Ronaldo. Bakuna needs to learn simple football and stop all this trying to fancy tricks, because he tries it, loses the ball, and then paddies that he's lost the ball. And I think he tries to do too much in the middle of that park where he could, there was twice yesterday he could have paid a simple pass to Dembele and carried on his run and just got the ball back and carried on. But he's like, no, I'm going to turn and try and do a roulette and a pirouette and through their legs or whatever. And you just
he's that type ball. Of player, isn't he, at times, Bakuna?
He likes the flair, and when it comes off, don't get me wrong, I'll happily sit there and be like, yes, Bakuna. But he tried it too much recently, and even against Baggies and Huddersfield, even though we played well, he did the same there, and I think he just needs to be calmed down a little bit.
A lot of yellow cards as well for Bakuna. Like, that's one thing that I've noticed. Like, his disciplinary record isn't great, is it?
He's banned from the game.
Yeah, there you go, already banned for the next game.
I mean, let's talk about next game then. I mean, that could be a really tricky game. I mean, Southampton, they're obviously just relegating from the Premier League, just come down. They've still got some very decent Premier League players. They've only just sold James Ward-Prowse. So, you know, that it was lucky that he's not in the team still. But like...
Shea Adams, of course, he is scoring. Sorry, I've gone 3-0 Southampton. I was doing a thing with a friend at work. I can't see us, if we're playing anything like we have against Middlesbrough and Hull, Southampton will absolutely batter us. Now, I'm hoping Rooney comes out with some prime Iniestas in midfield with Sundjic, and we go and batter them 3-0 and shove it down Sheridan's face. He should have come back to us. But I don't see it happening, unfortunately, boys.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky game. I've got to be honest. Those are probably the games that I would recommend sitting back against. Not really for the whole game. I feel like one of those games where we could start the game just trying to keep them out of our box as much as we can, really. Not inviting the pressure on, God, no. That's what we did against Watford. But, you know, trying to keep the ball up the other end of the pitch as much as we can, you know. And, like, from then on, we'll see how it goes. Because, honestly, if they get past us in those first few minutes, it could be game over, honestly. That's the way I feel at the moment. I mean, like, it's a tricky game, even if Eustace was still in charge. That's my personal opinion. Like, It was never going to be an easy game. It looks like a really hard game now, honestly. I feel like it's one of those games that we've got to be tight as we possibly can to every single player at every single instance. You know, it's just, you know, because they'll rip us apart otherwise. You know, like I said, they've just come down from the Premier League. And particularly where the fans are at the moment, it could get really toxic. I mean, like, I'm trying to remain as, you know, present as possible, you know, and trying to analyze things and be balanced with things, because it's not all Rooney's fault, but he's sort of got the fans offside by trying to change too much, in my opinion. And that's fair enough. Again, going over that point, you know, he's just got to be a bit smarter with how the fans can react. Because if you're offside with the fans, then you're not going to win us back. You know, even if he wins against Southampton, I still think that the large majority of the fan base is still going to be unhappy.
We need... Southampton's one of these. Unfortunately, we're all sitting here going, they're going to batter us. Southampton have been playing great football themselves.
Mm.
They're getting good results. Plymouth, I think they literally got a 92nd-minute winner. The game the week after, they got a 94th-minute winner. Then they went and got battered by Leicester. So they're a bit of a hit and miss at the moment. Who's going to turn up? You've got, like I said, Shea Adams up front. You've got Armstrong, who's fast. Mm. Their defence is solid, and they haven't really lost many Premier League players, and they've added to their squad. But I think even if he goes and wins that game, you then need to go and win against Ipswich. That's a must. You are back at home. You have to be winning that game against Ipswich. Sunderland is going to be another tough one. Especially away. They've not given us many fans, so they're fully expecting to just dominate the atmosphere. We need to go and shut them up. And then a week after that, you've got Sheffield Wednesday. Now, if we get to Sheffield Wednesday and he hasn't got a single point yet, I can see doubt starting to worry, and people are thinking that Sheffield Wednesday are going to start picking up 3 points against us. At the moment, I'm hoping we don't get there. But they're 4 tough games, and I think Sheffield Wednesday is going to be the key point. If he does not get 3 points between Southampton, Ipswich and Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday is where he's going to proper feel Birmingham City fans' hatred.
Boy, especially if he loses, God. I mean, like, they've been absolutely abysmal. Let's go to a few comments. We've been talking for a little bit now. Let's go to Bobby Furnell here, saying he can't go defensive. It would be completely contradicts his appointment. He should do it. That's how we'll get points. But Cook justified this change with no fear comments. So, I mean, that's interesting to say, isn't it? Because, like, I mean, it's really what he should be coming in to do, really, playing that no-fear football. And last night, it just had a shade of fear, didn't it? I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is.
I think it's fear from the fans, isn't it? Because we've seen the football change so much, and it's so much so soon as well. And that's where a lot of the problems have come from, you know, with the fans watching it. They can see that the players aren't fully adjusted to it yet. And I mean, I think next month there is actually another international break, isn't there? So
that could help us, yeah.
There'll be a bit more time to sort of figure things out. But I suppose if you get to that Sheffield Wednesday game and we're speaking about, you know, if he doesn't get 3 points in, that's going to be like real pressure already. But I think that international break will help with the adjustment of trying to play the football that Rooney wants to play. But it's just so worrying at the moment, isn't it? And I mean, I've seen the phrase no fear football so much on Twitter that it gets to the point where I might even have to mute it, because everybody's just sort of saying it in the context that, like, you know, we're the ones that are in fear. And it's just seeing it so much just sort of takes you back to that day, doesn't it, when Eustace got the sack and we're all fearing the worst. And it looks like our worst nightmares have come to fruition, really.
What if it is the talk about this no fear? What if it is the fact of our players having no fear? Because they're all scared of Birmingham City fans can turn very quickly. I'll be the first to admit, I've seen it turn in the space of half an hour of a game. What if the players are now in fear of jobs, positions and places? And that's what they mean by no fear, is the fact players have no fear and just go for it.
I don't know. So do you mean like in terms of like no fear from the players sort of about their own positions, do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of fear at the moment of... So, for one question that a lot of fans have is, why have we brought Emmanuel Eyiwu in to stick him on a bench? But does Sanderson and Long have that fear of, if we mess up, we lose our position to this guy? Situations like this. And it's get rid of that fear, because that's what's caused us not to get the points.
Right, okay, yeah. I mean, I would still say, though, that in terms of, like, the fear, in terms of, like, playing badly and losing your position... I think that comes down to like how comfortable you feel in that position. And Sonjic has lost his position after having a very good start to the season. Mm. And yes, what's he done wrong? He played one bad game in a position that he's not used to. So I think in terms of what you're trying to say is that if we have fear in us about losing his positions, then, you know, it can't really come down to the fact that we've had one bad game, really. So I don't know. It's a tricky one.
Yeah,
it is.
We all hear this no fear, no fit. There's been no statement to actually sit there and express what they're actually wanting from Rooney. What?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It would be helpful if the fans know what the owners are looking for. If the owners are looking for, okay, we want a mid-table finish, just better playing than last season, then we've just got to sort out the playing style, keep getting the points, and where we are now is going to be fine. But from the attitude that we're all getting, we're all understanding, okay, these are wanting playoffs or promotion, and we're just not giving that. So it'd be helpful if we could actually know what the board have set out, what are our aims for the season,
objectives.
What are we trying to reach?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah. I understand the thinking behind that as well, because I think with the more transparency between us and the board as well in terms of communication, I think that probably would be good to know sort of their ideas, really. Because they have said that the eventual target is to get us back in the Premier League. But also, when about is that? You know, are we expecting it this year? Are we still a work in progress? I mean, Rooney has said that himself, but Gary Crook has said something differently, who's obviously the CEO. Obviously, we haven't heard anything from Craig Gardner in recent weeks, who is the technical director, who's supposed to be working very closely with Rooney. So, you know, what's the sort of plan for this season? You know, what can we expect? Because if they're going to say, look, we're not expecting to go up this season, fair enough, you know, and then we could perhaps say, well, it's probably going to be a bit of a shit end to the season. But like, if we're expecting to go up and expecting to push for those positions, and this is how we're playing, I ain't sure about that.
Below the standards they've set, isn't it? And I think with going back to Craig Gardner, I can't remember the last time he actually spoke to like club media publicly, so like a YouTube interview or something, because I remember at the start of the season, I think it was a couple years ago when Boya was there, he'd done an interview, didn't he, at the start of the season, sort of addressing this 3-year plan that you had in mind or whatever. But obviously that went out the window with the new owners coming in everything. But I'd love to see sort of him sit down with an interview, speak to the club media and actually address the fans and their concerns at the moment, because I think that would sort of quieten down, I guess, a section of the fan base that is wondering, right, what are actually are our targets? Because we spent this money, we're being promised all these things, but it's not actually happening for us.
Something we could link on to this is perhaps some of the booing that we got. So we got a comment here from Rich saying the abuse from Rooney got from that section of the fans in the railway end when he was walking off was a disgrace. It's a shame to be a Blues fan when I heard it. He's our manager, get behind him. I completely agree. You know, I wasn't booing him. I was frustrated, as many fans were, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, a lot of us were expecting more from these first two games. I was expecting definitely from Middlesbrough a good setting of standards, you know, attacking, you know, winning mentality, you know, it's buzzwords. And I'll probably go over and over of saying this, that we should have kept to the same team of what was winning and then progress from there and seen where we could change it and where Rooney could implement his own style. But to get on his back so early, I mean, it gives off vibes that as if like we should be demanding more when really, let's be honest, like we're Blues. We've had a couple of few years now where it's been like absolute dire football. So the fact that we are in sixth position is good, but I also accept the fact that we're demanding better standards now. So like, I don't know, it's a difficult one to say, but in terms of the way you were talking then about Craig Gardner, Sam, I suppose you could link that with the fans getting on his back quite soon.
That's what I was thinking, actually, in the fact that Rooney was sort of getting booed off at the full-time whistle. And that clip I've seen a lot of times on Twitter, different sort of accounts posting it that aren't related to Birmingham. And I just think to myself, is that the impression we want to give off, you know, of our fan base? Because I think as a fan base, it's just not how we are, I don't think. You know, it's sort of unrecognisable, sort of booing off a manager after two games. I'm just not a fan of it. I saw something on Twitter saying, like, you know, that's the reaction that, say, for instance, Steve Cotchell would have got towards the end of his tenure, not like a new manager after two games. And I just
don't agree, though,
that type of fan base.
I do agree, actually. Somebody else just put this in the comments saying that nothing wrong with football fans expressing themselves, though. I do agree with that. I do personally agree with that. You know,
to an extent.
But also, they are paying customers as well. That's the
absolutely
thing. And you piss
absolutely
them off, and then you start to lose the rest of the fan base then. So I agree with that. I do. But also, as well, there are... I also understand the context behind it.
But at the same time, yes, express yourself. Yes, people aren't happy Rooney's come in. But from things I've read on Twitter, people were booing him when the Tannoy announcement was, welcome your new Birmingham City manager, Wayne Rooney. People are booing him before the game's even started. So how stupid do you look if you booing your own manager, first home game he's got, you're booing him on his walkout? Imagine if he'd gone and put four past hole. You'd look like an absolute idiot. But now you're actually sitting there going, well, I told you, we're going to get points with
that's
him.
That's it, isn't it? People saying, I want to go, I told you so.
Yeah,
and that's
no one knew what was going to happen. Everyone said Holt and Middlesbrough are going to be tough. They are, if not the most informed teams in the league. I think there's only Leicester and Ipswich up there with them. They were going to be tough games, but to boo your manager as he's walking out to his announcement is ridiculous.
It's that such divide that I thought we were getting past as Blues fans, because we've had, I reckon. Well, I personally reckon since the sacking of Gary Rowett, but as a personal point of view, from when I, you know, first started to go back again after that long period with Carson Young and just refusing to go to any of the games, you know, funding the crook. When we sat Gary Monk and the atmosphere afterwards when we had Clotet in charge was just so different, because, you know, and it has parallels to Rowett and Zola. It has parallels to Monk and Clotet. You know, the fans, there's just such a bitterness about us, and there's such a deflation after when we get rid of what was working. And even Rowett and Monk weren't working to such an extent. You know, we hadn't been back in the Premier League at that point and then come back down. You know, we'd still been in the Championship for all that time. But there's that sort of feeling that you get when you change a manager and you go for the big idea. And I respect the idea of going for the big idea and the big picture. But the fans sometimes, when you do stuff like that to them, you start to disrupt how they're feeling about the game and how they're feeling about the team. So I emphasise with them feeling upset. I don't understand. I don't accept. Well, I can't work out to phrase this, but I don't like that they're booing them. It booing him, because it's two games, you know, and some managers, I think Gary Monk lost his first game and Rowett only drew his first game against Wolves. So, you know, it does take time, but like in with Rooney and things like that, it's got very similar parallels to Monk and Clotet and Rowett and Zola. So yeah, I'm hopeful it does pick up, because I could just see us slipping back into the same way we have been for the last 10 years, really. And I thought, Sam's dropping in and out. I thought
black screen then they came back.
I thought we were past those times, and that's what I thought. And particularly, actually, I'll point this game out. Leeds at home, I was absolutely so desperate to win that game, because I thought the new blues starts here if we win this game today, and we did. And I thought we are absolutely away for the season. And for those first few games, we went undefeated, didn't we? You know, we only lost in, like, was it Watford, the first defeat of the season? And even then we played well. We played well against Preston as well. I thought the new blues are here now. You know, we've got that win against Leeds. We've beaten Bristol City easily. And then we changed the manager. And that victory now, in my personal opinion, has no reflection on the season anymore. That's not the same blues. Just can't be.
Well, you spoke earlier about the winning mentality of we've got to be no fear football. Don't get me wrong, when we had Rowett in charge, we were playing good football, we were in a good position. Same similar situation with Eustace. But the last time I actually think that Burnley City had a no fear winning mentality was the year we got relegated. When we were in the Europa League, we were pushing for playoffs. I think we finished sixth or something that season. Mm. That's the last time I actually physically remember Burnley City were pushing that good. We were in Europe, fans were buzzing, and then literally started the downward spiral. And I think a lot of fans are still in that downward spiral. The second something goes wrong, they turn. And I think we just got to work around it. Figure out a way to get the fan base connected with the club without relying on the manager doing it. We need to see the passion from the players to get that connection back.
Yeah. Thoughts on that, Sam?
It's one of them things where, like, we've been through it so many times as Birmingham fans, haven't we? Where we've had something good and then all of a sudden it's just gone wrong, isn't it? Like, you've mentioned about the Gary Rowett stuff, the Gary Monk stuff. I remember actually when Monk got sacked, because it was towards the end of the season, wasn't it? I think it was once the season was over, there was this dispute, wasn't there? And then Clotet got put in charge and there was this weird atmosphere around the club. But it tends to be that, you know, we sort of go on a bit of a streak and then it's like a real, real sudden dip in form. And that dip in form usually happens around about the sort of new year time, doesn't it? Where, like, we're doing well and then it's like new year and then it sort of drops off a bit. But it's going to be really scary, isn't it, if we go sort of four or five games without a win and then there's real pressure on Rooney, then it's only going to sort of make the fan base even more vocal in their disapproval of Rooney. So I'm just hoping that this first win does come. But, I mean, we're playing Southampton on Saturday. Don't really expect much from there. It's on Sky Sports. You know how much of a big deal they're going to make of Rooney, don't you? And it's going to be all about him. But
I'm sick of seeing Rooney's Birmingham.
Exactly.
Off.
Exactly. I think it was the Times.
He'd be lucky to have Birmingham named after him.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, that we've brought in such a big name. And I think maybe some of the players are looking at it going, well, I don't want to be playing for a club that we're Birmingham City. We're not Rooney's Birmingham. I think that it might be a bit of a too big of a name over here to have brought in, and potentially not what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some more questions in then, or some more statements. Oof, it's big, going for a big one here, actually. David Smith, is it too early to say Rooney out?
Yes.
Go on, guys.
Yes.
If you're sat there in the fans that the last night were saying Rooney out, give your head a wobble, because I've seen other clubs, like, I think Klopp had it in his first season at Liverpool, and he had something like a 32% win rate. And they were like, oh, the worst guy to run Liverpool ever for centuries. And now he's won them everything. It happens. He's coming into a new team and he's got to get the players to adapt to his playing style, or find the playing style that suits him and suits them. Sitting there and calling for a manager's head after two games is just stupid.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Yeah, I completely agree with it. The fact that two games in, like, that's it's nothing, isn't it? And it's just this whole storm that's been created, and you're just trying to say sort of the worst thing possible. And I thought a lot of the Twitter comments last night, it was very sort of reactionary, wasn't it? Because I was going to put something on myself, and I thought better of it, and just put my phone to one side for the night, and left all the comments to go on, and not give my immediate take, because I think my immediate take would have been a bit explicit, really.
I think most people are like that. I mean, like, I was, a lot of what I say off camera is more reactionary. I try and keep, particularly in my vlogs, just try and keep it as like level-headed as possible, really, because like, I was, particularly in the car on the way back, I was just like, why has he changed the team so much? I was just like getting so frustrated with it, but I was calming down as well. But I suppose we could reverse that question or alternate that question slightly and say, how long does he have in terms of losing games until he gets the boot?
Christmas.
Do you say Christmas? Christmas? I mean, how many games have we got until that point?
I think from now till Christmas, and I looked at it the other day, something like 11 games. I think that's enough that you need to, I think if he hasn't won a game in the first 14 games of being in charge of a club, I've seen Watford are going for it. They've been through God knows how many managers in the last like 3 years. I think it's like 8 or something stupid. We don't want to become like that. But I think...
Well, we kind of are, aren't we? We kind of are. We already have been that team.
Yeah, but Christmas, I think... Even if you're not winning every game, not saying you're not going to win every game, we're going to lose games, we're going to draw games, we're going to win games. I think that Christmas run-up and that period there is going to be tough. And I feel like if he utilises the squad properly, we can come out with a few points. But I think if we've not won a game by Christmas, I think you've got to be looking before the January window at who's going to come in and direct the players in to push that team in a different direction.
Sam, how many games do you give him if he keeps up this form?
It depends a lot on fixtures, I think, as well. I would like to see Rooney have a window, maybe, because I imagine there would be targets that are identified between now and the January transfer window with Rooney having this manager role. I imagine that he'll have some sort of impact in the transfers that come in, and he'll have maybe targets in mind, contacts that he'll have that perhaps other people with it around the football don't. So it may be one of the things where, if he wants to play the certain style of football, maybe he doesn't have the players that he wants to do it yet. So have those players, give them players a bit more time, but it's all, you know, touch and go, isn't it? Because we could be saying this and we could be right down the bottom and in another relegation.
I know, but that's the risk.
I know
run,
it sounds really
know.
Negative, but like, honestly,
with 3 points above 19th.
That's the thing. Like, I understand, like, you know, we're not trying to get ahead of ourselves in this, but let's be honest here. The Championship is as close as it comes in terms of divisions. Yeah. A couple of defeats and we are right back in that relegation battle, you know, because it's, well, like, we're sixth, like, before Middlesbrough, but then we lose and we drop down to seventh, and then we are currently 12th now. So it only takes two more games to drop down more positions, but then to make those back up, I mean, like, it's such a difficult job he's given himself. And that's why I was, again, going back over this point, but like, I'm just so frustrated, so baffled by the fact that he changed so much. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, just stick to the 4-2-3-1. It was a winning mentality. It was winning.
Sorry, Josh, you go on.
No, come on, mate.
No, I was going to say, like, about the starting lineup against Middlesbrough, because that really shocked me, the first game where you put Gary Gardner in from the start in sort of like a midfield three almost. And I thought, what is this? Like,
let's be fair, though, Craig's paid his pocket well, so he's got to pay him back any.
What? So you're saying that Craig Gardner gets him a job, so he's got to play his brother? Is that what he's saying?
He leaves DC United because he wants a job back in England. Coincidentally, we've come sniffing in for him and give him a job. Craig's good friends with him. And he's gone, mate, just play my brother. Because I read something, Gary Gardner needed one start.
Conspiracy files here, Blues.
No, I read something, I don't know how true it is, but I read something that was Gary Gardner needed one more game to get his pay rise in his contract.
Really?
But obviously BHSL did the same with Etheridge, which is why they brought Ruddy in, that he's got like two more games or something to get three or four pay rise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there was something like that with Gary Gardner. So I'm not being funny. If he's coming in going, just give him that one start, mate. Get him that pay rise. Then sound, let him sit there on 12 grand a week on the bench doing nothing. He ain't going to care.
It's yeah. I mean, I do remember the Etheridge situation because as Harley Dean as well, wasn't it? So that's why we didn't play him for such a long time. But
I said personally, at the moment, I'd be giving the whole team a wobble. I'd be giving Etheridge a go because I think Ruddy in the last couple games, he played really well against Middlesbrough and he kept us in that. But this season, he has made 8 or 9 mistakes that should not be happening.
No, I disagree.
For the goal in the middle.
I'm not sure about Etheridge. I think that's a bit too far.
I completely disagree.
Mate,
if you're trying to play it from the back, imagine Etheridge playing out the back.
No. Not at all. No way.
For example, the goal against Middlesbrough, I've seen a lot of Blues fans reacting to it. The fact
fair enough, yeah.
He doesn't go for the ball, he just hits there. And you sit there and think about it. There's been a few mistakes he's made this season, and not being funny, yes, Etheridge is awful at distributing. But at the same time, there's a reason why the guy is the captain for his national team, apart from the fact he's the only one that everyone knows. But he's still playing internationally. He's still playing at a higher level. And not being funny, but back in the days when he was at Cardiff and they were going to the Premier League, he was an outstanding keeper. I'd give him a game or two just to give Ruddy that kind of that point of sort your act out, otherwise you ain't playing.
I don't think he can. I don't think you can say that to him, though. I think that's such a harsh thing.
He's such an experienced player, Ruddy. It's one of the things where he's at that age where in his career, I don't think he needs that, does he?
But like, as well, it's what we've done to Sonjić in these last two games. Like, he's been playing as best as he has done for us since we bought him in 2019, and we've benched him after one game from playing a completely different system. Like, Ruddy,
so I actually
read
about Sonjić. Apparently, he had a slight hamstring injury, and Rooney didn't want to tell him it was another injury. That's why they kept him on the bench. And that's why at half-time, if you'd seen him, he was going for a proper training routine, was to try and see if he was fit to come on. And apparently they ruled that he weren't going to be fit enough to come on and do 45 minutes. He'd do 10 minutes or so, but they wanted to rest him because he's been having injuries with either his calf or his hamstring. So whether that is generally true, when he was just left out because of an injury, and they just don't... The amount we've had, if you had another injury coming, you'd be going off, God, what's going on now? So
I completely disagree that Ruddy's been underperforming this season. I just don't agree with that. I mean, I kind of get what you mean in terms of some squad rotation. To a point, I would actually say that we just need to refer back to how we were playing. Again, for like the 15th million time for saying it. But like, we had a winning system going. We were winning some games. We were playing some really good football. And we've changed it Rooney's changed it all of a sudden. And, well, actually, you could say that we've changed it all of a sudden. But still, I would disagree with you on with Ruddy, in personal opinion. It's he's been easily our best defensive
player. Bring back Hannibal. That's all we want.
Hannibal would be a good signing.
I'll say every vlog I'm on, I don't care.
The Man United contact, it's got to come into Handy somehow, isn't it? Like...
Well, I think he knows Hannibal, he knows Chong, and he knows Fellaini. We can get Hare FC going again. Let's get it going.
It's on midfield.
I think that's the only thing that perhaps would seem till Christmas, if he keeps up the form that he's in, is perhaps the players he could bring in. But I would argue that's still too late. If he keeps up this form, and I don't know exactly what that form is, let's be honest, he's not going to lose every single game until Christmas. He is going to win a game eventually.
Wednesday. That should be easy 3 points.
He will win a game, let's be honest.
Watch it be Leicester. Watch if we beat someone like Leicester.
We could beat Southampton. This is the thing.
The dogs disagree with that one, Tommy.
What?
I knew you could. It. 1 second.
But, yeah, like, as Tommy said, we could beat Southampton. It could happen. And as a Blues fan, I'm sure you're the same, Sam. I've seen some weird things happen. I never in my life thought I'd see Bournemouth City beat Arsenal in the Carling Cup final. It happened. Stranger things have happened in football, but it's one of those.
The Championship is unpredictable, isn't it? That's one thing you can say about the league. Like, the amount of results that you see and go, I can't believe that. Like, it could happen, but will it happen? Not sure.
People say that the Premier League's the toughest league in the world. No, I think the Championship is 10 times tougher, because the Premier League, you've got VAR that helps you with every decision. But we've got situations like, I was reading somewhere yesterday that Hull should have had a penalty, Stonewall penalty last night.
I don't know about that one as well. I thought that was a dive.
It may have been, but at the same time, there's coaching Miyoshi's against Baggies was 100% Alhamad. That was never a penalty.
How the hell that was a penalty?
Oh, definitely a penalty. I don't know what you guys are on about.
In the Premier League, though, in La Liga and Serie A and all these big leagues, you've got VAR that rule that out. The toughest league is the Championship because you haven't got VAR ruining the game. It's pure, the referee's done this, deal with it. That's happening.
Not waiting 2 minutes for a final verdict. So you just get it there, here and there.
Well, they're apparently rumoured to be putting VAR in the Championship next season. I was like, I ain't going if they are. I don't want it.
No, I'm not a fan of VAR. I think it needs spinning off in all entirety, in my opinion.
Get a proper good system in. Get it like rugby. Rugby, it's quick, it's simple.
TMO
it's decided
better,
there and there very quickly. That's what it needs to be. Otherwise, scrap a lot of it. The World Cup, it was really good. And I think it was utilised properly in the World Cup. And then it's come back to England and we've gone, now we're going to do it our own way.
So. Sort of the way that Blues feel at the moment. We've nearly been talking for about an hour. Let's wrap this up with some predictions for Southampton. I imagine we're not feeling very confident, myself included. Josh, give us your thoughts on what we're facing.
I had a bloke say the other day that he wanted it to be on your vlog, the lad that was like 9-9. I'm going to stick with him and go 9-9. But no.
Jack would be proud of that.
Realistically, 2-1 Southampton.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah, I don't think we'd get a goal, wouldn't we? It's the first goal for under Rooney.
I'm hoping as well it's not one of these where we go 1-0 down, 2-0 down, and then we get a last minute goal. I'd like it if we 1-1.
Competed for it, yeah.
Go 1-0 down and we show the passion of getting a goal back. And
yeah.
If we lose the game, we lose the game. But 2-1 is where I see it, realistically.
Sam, your thoughts?
I think for the game, Southampton are going to have a lot of the ball, aren't they? We know they like to play possession football and they've had a lot more sort of time to work with the manager to play this possession football. But the thing is with Southampton, they do concede a lot of goals. Like you see the amount of goals they've conceded this season. We were saying earlier on the fact that Leicester put a lot past them. There's been other teams that have taken the distance in games. And I just think there are goals to be had in the game. And I think both teams will score. And I'll say we'll get a point. I'll go 1-0.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair result as well, yeah. I'm in two minds here. I would really like to see us just fucking go for it. Like just
9-0 against them.
But as well,
three or five years.
I don't know how we're going to do it because I don't think Rooney's going to go back to the way we're playing. I think he's, I don't want to use the word stubborn, but I feel that's the only way I can really describe it. I think he's going to stick to the way he wants to play. And I feel like we're going to get more and more frustrated with that as fans. But they are, you know, for a former Premier League team in themselves, Southampton, they haven't had the best starts to the season as they probably would have liked to. Obviously, Leicester have had the much better start. But I think Rooney needs to play his cards right in this game. And I think he needs to get on side with the fans. I think the only way he's going to do that is by giving us what we want, really. And, you know, if we lose and
take his boots up and get on that pitch and score us some goals.
Super sub.
Yeah.
Rooney and Duke up front.
Oh, God, can you imagine
the dream
that?
Team.
Jesus Christ, man.
All we need now is Troy Deeney back and you got the perfect front three.
Loads of pace there.
We need just to play the same way we were before that. We need to properly go for it. I feel like if we lose, fair enough. But I feel if we, and I'm going to go use this phrase I was using before, used to Scott sacked. If we put the right team out, we'll win 2-1. I don't think we can hold out for a clean sheet. But if we don't, I think Southampton will win, obviously. But I don't think we'll score again. That's the thing. So it could be 2 or 3-0. And if it's worse than 3-0, oh, I worry for the fan base then because that could get really bad then. Because
I think if we concede the first goal, we'll lose. It's one of the things where if we get the first goal in the game, there's definitely a chance of us getting sacked. If we concede early on first goal.
Well, actually, because it's interesting you say that. If we concede the first goal, we'll lose. It's West Brom, I think, was the first time in ages when we actually came back to win. 2 years.
April 2021 was the last time.
Literally, that's the sort of thing. And like when we did that, I was like, wow, like we're turning the corner here. you know, maybe I'm just getting ahead of myself in that.
And sacked our manager.
Yeah, exactly.
that's the corner turn.
It's like, that's the thing. Like, and then I feel like that's, my brother said that last night on the blog, actually. Now I think of it. But like, it's, if we go a goal down, then we can't get back into games. It's just, it's how we've been for such a long time. And I completely agree with you. If we do go 1-0 down, you know, even if we go down 1-0 in like the 70th minute, similar to how we did against Middlesbrough, we're not getting back into it. I could just see that happening immediately. You know, like if we went a goal ahead, I still think we were up against it, but we've obviously got the chances in it. But just like we can't go a goal down. That's as simple as that, but I don't think we can.
I'm just hoping to God Shay Adams don't score. And if he does watch the podcast, if he is watching the podcast, Shay, put one in your own goal, mate. Just you're blue nose, we know you are. Stick one in your own goal, mate. Make us all happy.
I think if he does score, which I imagine if he does play on Saturday, and he does score, I just beg that he doesn't celebrate. That's the only
thing. I don't think he will.
Do you know what? I've had this conversation multiple times with people. I don't care if he celebrates, as long as you don't do it in front of the Blues fans. And if you're at our ground, you don't celebrate in front of us. But at your own home ground, if I played for Blues and went to Southampton and I scored St Mary's 89th minute winner in front of all the Southampton fans, I'm running around, shirt off, going
crazy.
That's
what Hernandez did for us.
I would not do it. In front of the Blues fans. And if you're at our ground and you score, just that's where you do the respectful. But in front of your own fans, crack on, do what you want. Just be respectful about us.
Maybe. I kind of get what you mean. But yeah, probably on your lines of thinking, actually, just not mental. You know what I mean?
Don't run in front of the Blues fans slapping the Southampton badge, because we probably will jump the barrier and punch you. But if you're in front of the Southampton end, where you're all their fans, just in the corner, little celebration, no one's going to get hurt through it. Well, to be fair, it's Blues fans, probably a load of them will. But you know.
I need to highlight this comments here. Can you ask?
I'm sorry,
it's the next part. I don't know why she kept on saying JJ, mate. Made me smile though, dropping that into the comments.
Please don't make fat shirts.
I mean, like, even for me, I'm as skinny as it comes. I'm a pencil compared to the normal figure of a person. Even then, they're skinny for me. The blue shirts are. Yeah, we're getting off topic here, aren't we? So you've gone 2-1, Josh. Sam, you've gone a 1-1. I've gone for a 2-1 Blues if we play the right team, and a 2 or 3-0 if we don't. That's Southampton. If we don't play the right team, we're not going to win 3-0, let's face it. Or maybe we will. You know, who knows? Thank you guys for listening. I've been Tommy Kelsall with Josh and Sam. Thank you guys for coming along again.
Yeah, it's nice to have a good catch-up.
It's been good, man. Yeah. Fingers crossed for a good result on Saturday. Really hopeful that we're going to start to turn things around and hopefully get this shaky period off out of the way. I will be back vlogging on Saturday as well. And yeah, thank you for watching, and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.